Following is a production of the Geek.io Media Network. For more geeky goodness, go to geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io for more information.
The following program contains scenes and language of a frank and explicit nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
Mobile low-bandwidth simulcast of this show available on Alpha Geek Radio. Using your mobile device web browser, go to mobile.alphageekradio.com to tune in now.
That it is Tuesday night, it means that it's time for another small screen spoiler show. Welcome. This is episode number 3, recorded the 10th of February. Indeed. 10th of February 2015. I'm CJ. Why is your mustache so sad? Boat. And he's Jared Stripopole in a mosque as a veto.
Howdy ho.
And we are here to spoil you on all of the things you want to be spoiled on because you deserve it.
You know you do.
And just like every other episode, I'm going to remind you that while we may talk about episodes 1, 4, and 15 of specific shows individually, we will also be speaking of previous iterations of those shows and previous episodes of those seasons. That being said, Better Call Saul may indeed have Breaking Bad spoilers in it.
So absolutely.
Be forewarned on that one. So if you have not seen or heard about or care to be spoiled for Better Call Saul Season 1, Episode 1, Uno, Agent Carter, Season 1, Episode 4, The Blitzkrieg Button, or Gotham, Season 1, Episode 15, The Fearsome Dr. Crane, come back later. We'll be happy to be, we'll be here. We'll wait. Don't worry. All right.
Maybe.
Before we get into that, a little bit of pre-show banter. We haven't done any of that. You've been watching anything other than these shows? And the
no.
Challenge show?
I've watched one episode of Arrow, then you gave me the new challenge show, and I did finally watch Days of Future Past.
Nice.
But I'll save that for you know, that other show we do.
Yes, because that is not
this is a because I watched it on a small screen, but it wasn't a small screen show.
Indeed. We might actually go into that here in approximately 8 to 10 episodes of that other show. You realize that's basically what that's going to become, right? It's basically going to be big screen spoiler show.
I don't have a problem with that.
Me either. I don't.
Do you have a problem
with
that?
Either. I don't. Not at all.
No, it's going to be terrible Thursday movie night big screen spoiler show.
There we go. That's actually what we should call it, just for fun. pull my camera down a little bit so people can see my awesome Diamond Club shirt, because Diamond Club, baby. Yeah. And yes, I know we're up against them on that other channel on tunein.alphageekradio.com, but, you know, I loves me some Jury and Schwood, so.
It's okay. I don't mind playing second fiddle to Jury and Schwood.
Not at all. Just forewarned, if you go to Dragon Con, you have to feel his beard. It's softer than it looks. Unlike Bud Long's.
Texas Beard Company products?
I'm guessing so, even though they're not sponsors of the show. But unlike Bud Long's, Bud Long's is awfully scratchy.
Yeah, yeah. Mine's pretty soft when I trim it.
Yeah, mine is too. When I actually do stuff to it, and it's actually very, very soft, but not as soft as Jerry's. It's like laying on a furry pillow. But that is not what we're here to discuss. First up on the list is Better Call Saul, the most anticipated show, at least in my opinion, for a long time for this show.
And look, Daryl, our images kind of match. So.
It will be the only time that happens.
Get over it. It's the one I found.
Yeah,
on
right.
The internet in 30 seconds.
All of mine are from Wikipedia. So whatever's up on Wikipedia as the official title, as the official show thing, that's what I put up there.
Oh, that's where you got it. Okay.
Yep, all
I
of them
do
are
that next
Wikipedia.
Time. Instead of Googling Better Call Saul title card.
Yeah, literally all of my title cards are from Wikipedia. All right. So, numero uno is uno. And I got
uno.
I got some notes. See, I have them recorded on paper-ish again, except this time it's on note cards.
Oh, fancy.
Yes, mainly because these are much easier to carry around than a notebook.
So, I gotta know, did you think it was tight?
Oh, tight, tight, tight!
Tight, tight, tight!
Oh, man. I've been...
And I feel bad because it's like the last 1 second of that show has overshadowed everything else that happened in that episode.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Just seeing Tuco just pop up, just like, oh,
it was just so
God.
Well played. You couldn't help it, you know? Because you go through the episode, and the episode was great. I was loving it. And then, you know, there's the whole con thing's going on, and he comes in, and like, where is this going?
Yeah, right.
Door and there's a gun. It's like, oh man, things are about to get crazy.
Well, I heard pulls him in and, Tuco... and I'm like, oh no, oh no, oh no.
And Tuco pokes his head out, like, oh, Tuco's so crazy.
Yeah,
Tuco's so crazy.
Oh man, I'm just kind of hoping that this is before his, before he became that Tuco, and I want to see that escalate. Like that's what
I don't
what,
know. I
that's
don't know.
Officially
I feel like
what
Tuco
I
was
out of
always that way.
Well, I mean, he had to start somewhere. I mean, he was taking the chili pea from Jesse in season one before Heisenberg came into the picture.
This is true. This is true.
Because he did mention, you know, this is much better than that chili pea bullshit you gave me. Oh, by the way, if you watch this show and you have kids around, I'm sorry, because they are not afraid to sling around like... And but if you didn't watch Breaking Bad, this is a horrible show to start off this season, start off that entire thing with.
Yeah, I mean, Katie watched none of Breaking Bad, but she was like in the kitchen working on stuff while I was watching this.
Oh, man.
So she saw the courtroom scene and, you know,
the
video. She's like,
the poor head.
And she was highly disturbed by that. She really couldn't let it go.
It's
like, did they just have sex with that dead body?
Yes. Well, it wasn't a dead body. It was just a head.
But they cut the head off first?
Yep.
Yeah, that happened.
Welcome to the Breaking Bad universe.
That is dark. I was like, yeah, well, it's a Breaking Bad spinoff. Dark is kind of what they do.
Yeah, dark comedy is all up in this, man. Dear Lord.
Like, oh, that whole scene was just made me feel uncomfortable. Yeah. It's like, man, it just kept going, too.
Yeah, right. It just didn't end. And that's one thing I love about this entire thing is Vince Gilligan has somehow created this universe where, like, you can just... You take something to its logical conclusion and just keep pushing.
Making you squirm, and you don't. They didn't actually show anything. They just, you know, they let you hear what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
You knew what was happening.
And by the way, and this is going to go into one of my notes is they went through a lot of effort and obviously a lot of money to make this entire thing seem as decrepit and horrible as humanly possible.
It's
obvious that the money was spent on it because everything was still like everything was meticulously placed and everything like this. It wasn't just like they just happened to take over a courtroom. No, this was fully staged, and you could tell like a lot of money was probably used to get these really old things and make them work.
These dumpy little courtroom with the VCR.
With the files.
Where'd they get a VCR?
Right. A VCR that worked that well, by the way. No VCR
true.
Ever creation has ever worked that well.
Some high def VHS.
Right? Like, through the entire episode, like, you went through a lot of effort to make everything seem so poor. If I have to say one thing against the episode, it's that. It seemed more staged than Breaking Bad ever did.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, there's always going to be inevitable comparisons to Breaking Bad, but it also needs to be its own thing.
Yes.
Even though it very, very, very much has every Breaking Bad feel about it.
Oh, yeah. Like, that. I mean, the entire first scene, like, the first, like, 2 minutes where it's a Saul post identity change.
Bad.
Yeah. Like, that entire thing just felt so much like the first 5 minutes of Breaking Bad that it wasn't even funny.
Yes. I mean, it was even in black and white. Like, because apparently when they do the future, when you're looking into the future, it's black and white.
Yeah, everything is brown in the present.
Whether it be a teddy bear in a swimming pool or or Saul Goodman working at a Cinnabon with a porn
stash.
Oh
my god! Oh, that's yes. I actually had that as your title, like as you're going. It was Cinnabon porn stash, and then I'm like, oh no! I'm looking through the episode. I'm looking through the. Through the synopsis, and I'm like, oh yeah, stripper pole in a mosque. That's so much better than Cinnabon porn stash.
They make him kind of look like Walt too. Like he's wearing the same kind of glasses. Mm-hmm. He's got the stash.
I noticed that too. I'm like
more porny than Walt's was.
Yeah, but. I'm like first couple of looks on him, like because I'm watching on my Surface, and I'm like, is that Walt? Huh? Oh no! Oh no!
Nope.
That is definitely not Walt. I love the. This is something I loved all through Breaking Bad too. The subtle, like subtle, hit you in the subtle, but yet still able to hit you in the face somehow. Product placements.
Cinnabon.
Yeah, just like it. Just that. That's all through the entire, like the entire season or series of Breaking Bad is those subtle but over the top product placements that you didn't think would actually do. They shouldn't be there, but it's cool that they exist.
It's always cool.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was an awesome product placement. Porn stash Odenkirk was my second note on here. They got right away into just showing how weak Jimmy actually is. And by the way, his name is not Saul Goodman, if that was not clearly an obvious thing.
It was James McGill.
Yep, James McGill. And they did not waste any time just showing how weak and insecure he really and truly is. Mm-hmm. And like, though I will give Bob Odenkirk something, man. Without saying a single thing, like there was not a ton of dialogue in this entire episode.
No, not at all.
But yet you...
Unless you count talking to himself.
Yeah, right? It was... He still expressed so much without talking as much. And that's such a hard thing to pull off.
No, he was great. I mean, Bob Odenkirk, I've got him here. Leading man Bob. He's doing just fine in the leading role. I have no problems with him. Like, that was probably my one worry was, you know, can you take Saul Goodman as and turn him into the lead character and make it still something awesome? And yes you can. Yes, you can.
Well, I think it's because he didn't start off with that Saul Goodman. You start off with him being so humble and so destitute that he's living with one of his... freaking clients, I think. I think he's pretty sure he's living with that Chuck guy in his tuberculosis soup.
Trichinosis too.
Oh yeah, trichinosis.
No, Chuck isn't his client. Chuck is there's some relationship there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
Chuck's last name is McGill.
Yeah. but
is that his dad? Is it his brother? Is it his uncle? Is it?
I don't know. I know he's representing him though, but like the way that he when he went up into up into the Hamilton law firm, like there was obvious this multi-year relationship there, up to and including that they were trying to give him new cases. Like they were giving him listings for public defendant cases.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's, by the way, I don't know if it is Albuquerque who's still stuck in like the early 90s where this is supposed to be taking place, but man, that's believable. it doesn't seem as fabricated as, say, Peggy Carter does or Agent Carter does. And fabricated in a good way. I've said countless times how much I love Agent Carter and how well it pulls off the 40s, but obviously it's fabricated. This, like, I don't know if it's Albuquerque or what, but, man, they pull off early 90s like there's nobody's business.
Yes, they do it well. They do it well. It's well embraced. TVs look great.
Everything is, like, they don't do any kind of slips. Everywhere. Well, I guess it's not early 90s because there's relatively modern cell phones, so you're probably looking at, like, 2005 Breaking Bad started, and that's when the year that it took place. So you're probably looking at like 98. Yeah.
I mean, we had flip phones in 98, right?
Hashtag CJazz. Holy crap. We did not just do that again.
Of course we do that. This is what we do.
Yeah, all the time, even in real life, folks. We are of one mind. Yeah, we had flip phones because I remember having an old Singular wireless flip phone that I could play Snake on back in 98.
My first flip phone was the Razor.
Nice.
Yeah, I got it like 2 years after it was cool.
Yeah, my cousin was working for Singular Wireless.
I think that
wireless
was like 2002.
Yeah, my cousin was working for Singular Wireless at the time, and he's like, we got all these phones, and here you go. And I'm like, oh, yeah, boy. At the time, that phone was like, we got the phone, it was like $800, man. It was like, I had the thing for like 5 years.
Yeah, my first cell phone was the little Nokia. It wasn't a flip phone, but it was like this big. It's
yeah.
Like a little tiny colored one. It's the ones I had in Charlie's Angels. That's what it's famous for. I had that one for a long time. And then the Razor.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Traffic Man freaking Mike Ehrmantraut.
Mike.
I love him just being there, being Mike still, man. Even though he's not, you know, bodyguard hitman yet, he's still Mike, and it's awesome. You're missing one sticker. But I have.
According to the internet, the first flip phone was 96.
Okay. So, yeah, that placed firmly in like 98,
99. Oh, and there's my little Nokia, 99. I guess that's the first phone I had was 99.
But yeah, so I loved that little cameo, but yeah, it's still all sorts of Ehrmantraut just like up in there.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to seeing his role expand and how that happens.
Yeah, because I mean, just at this point, obviously, it's just like he's just there doing a job. Like they obviously have no communication with each other. everything is brown. Like everything is just monotone. Like even outside of the black and white. Futurescape. Everything is just brown, and I know that's Albuquerque.
It's Albuquerque.
Yeah,
Albuquerque.
That's
apparently the color palette they've chosen for the show too.
Yeah, it is
brown,
so brown,
brown and yellow. Everything's
yep.
brown and yellow.
Yep, with a little bit of red here and there. But
red,
yeah, brown and
fine.
Yellow.
Just lots of brown, lots of yellow.
Terracotta all up in that. And
I mean, he drives a yellow. And
beat
blue,
down horrible piece of shit car. Oh my
yes.
god. That car.
Gilligan's all about the cars.
Yeah, right? I thought like the Aztec was bad
cars,
until I saw
yeah,
that
the cars
car.
Are always some kind of character in themselves.
Yep.
Or some extension of the
smoking
character.
Smoking and
them.
Like horrible and won't start half the time.
Come on.
Windshield from that kid who looked a lot like a geeky kid from Pete and Pete.
Geeky?
The one with the glasses that could take a hit, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
He made $632 over getting hit by a car twice.
Twice in one day.
Oh, man. I saw that.
Taught
like,
by Slippin' Jimmy.
Slippin' Jimmy. Hey, they're not going to make
dirty
it.
Con,
they're not going to make it at all. They got pulled in by Tuco. They're so dead. They're so dead.
Clearly, Saul will survive. But
yeah,
I don't know how.
Saul, obviously, spoiler alert, is going to win. Those kids, probably not so much. Mainly because they were insulting his grandma. And oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You do not insult Tuco's family, or everything is going to get real tight around there. It's just sad that I'm not going
to
hear him say that, like,
in
because
a,
you punched to death in a junkyard, yep.
Punched
his cousin
in
to death. Oh, yeah. Can no one in this entire universe, Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, make a real voicemail message? Because he called Geeky Pete and Pete, and they're like, do it! I'm like, really? Come on. Really?
Really?
Ugh. It still bothers me when people are like, hello, you've totally got my voicemail. I'm going to stab you in the eye.
You will die. You will die for your sins.
Okay, then my last note was, Slippin' Jimmy's in tight, and that was it.
Slippin' Jimmy. Oh, man.
So what do you got for Better Call Saul?
I think we hit most of them. The only other ones I was like, what's with Chuck? Like, what is his disease he has? Or is he crazy? I can't.
I don't know. I know he was talking about the electromagnets. Like, everything was electromagnets, so.
Yeah, you leave your cell phone in the mailbox and.
Yeah, but what is he going to beat? Like, that's one thing is I don't know what he's going to beat and get better. I don't understand.
Is he beating his insanity, or does he have some kind of weird heart condition? I don't. Clearly, they left lots of questions open for that.
Let's get that. Let's get that guy some chili pea from Cap'n Cook, and he'll be all better.
All better. It'll fix him right up. And that nail salon that has his office in the back.
Oh yeah, Mrs.
Water
Nguyen is awesome.
is that the nail salon that he was trying to get Walt and Jesse to launder their money through?
Yep, that is that same nail salon. You come and want a for customer. He's so awesome. Oh, she's so great. Just like, I'm like, all right, I'm in love with that woman. She has like three lines, and I'm like, all right, she needs to be back more. You not drinking that cucumber water for customer. Oh man,
I'm totally excited about number two.
Yeah, I'm so in. Like, I'm not even like, there's not even a question. Like, and the thing is as if Better Call Saul would have floundered on the pilot, the normal excuses that you can give for a pilot don't work here. Because everybody knows each other. It's the same production company, same production crew from Breaking Bad. It's, you know, 75% of the main cast. It's you had no excuses with this, so you had to nail it.
Nope. I mean, they're already in these characters, and
yep. And they nailed it.
There's getting used to a character. No, they nailed
it. I'm down. I'm so down.
Crap out of it. I loved it. So excited.
Oh, yeah. All right. Means we are up to... Nope. Agent Carter.
We're talking
there we
Agent
go.
Carter next, right?
Yep.
Sorry. Although they just kept flying back and forth, and I got confused.
Agent Carter, Season 1, Episode 4, The Blitzkrieg Button. And this episode...
Blitzkrieg Button?
Not Tony Stark. Jesus Christ. Howard Stark shows up, and his mustache is sad.
Oh, that's the sad mustache.
Okay. Yes.
I thought you were talking about... Odenkirk's mustache.
No.
Because his mustache was sad, too.
Yes, it was
a little
very
frightening,
sad.
But sad. He was very sad. Except for when he was watching his old TV guides.
Yeah, right.
But we're done talking about that show. I'm sorry. Go on.
But Peggy pulls Howard Stark up through the laundry chute and is like, "Oh, Howard, why is your mustache sad?" Like, that is so awesome. She's so adorable. Oh, my God. I should probably flip to my notes for Agent Carter. Actually, watch these in backwards order that we're talking about them, so I wrote them down in backwards order. I watched Gotham first, then Agent Carter, then Better Call Saul today.
Oh, okay. Well, I watched Agent Carter, then Gotham yesterday, and no, Gotham Sunday, Better Call Saul yesterday.
Oh, God. All right. By the way, nailed it on Dottie. Nailed it.
Here's my note. CJ was right.
Yeah!
I never doubted you, but, you know.
I just looked at her, and again, I know tropes. You linger on a character for too long, that's not just a random character.
Nope.
So I'm still guessing.
And I love how they set up weird, I don't know what that guy was, but, you know, set him up as like this bad guy. Throughout the entire episode, and just like right there, about to assassinate Peggy Carter.
Is that an automatic gun? I
Is
want
it. An automatic
snap.
Gun? I want that to snap. Like, oh, okay.
Freaking awesome automatic handgun, though, man. That gun was cool as hell. Like, that gun was so cool, man.
That's why she took it.
Oh, yeah. I'd take it too. Jump on the wall and snap some dude's neck.
Is she bad or is she good?
I'm still guessing Hydra Viathan, whatever they're going to call her.
She's Leviathan. But she still has her voice box.
not all of the heads of Leviathan have to be cut off. I mean, she's too pretty to cut the voice box out of. Plus, she's a spy. So, you know, there's that.
Need your voice box if you're a spy?
Yes. It is important. Even if you're an accidental spy, you need your voice box. Man, Howard Stark is so great. Like, every little piece that he's in just is fantastic. He's just this horrible, despicable, gross human being, but he's so great at it.
He's just, he plays smarmy very well.
Yeah, man. He's not overused.
No, he's just right. He almost overused in this episode, but it was, I guess, a necessity thing.
Yeah, and while he can also pull off smarmy very well, he also does serious pretty well as well, with the Captain America weirdness blood that he has Oh.
Yes. What's in the vial, and what's in the vial?
I guess it's supposed it's better
just
than...
just want to know.
Well, it's Captain America's blood.
Yeah, yeah. What you going to do with that?
It's from Project Rebirth. And when he said Project Rebirth instead of Captain America, dude, the look on Peggy Carter's face. I'm like, oh, I looked at the look on her face. And I'm like, damn, that woman can act. Because it was a great picture between genuine heartbreak and pure unbridled rage.
And then she punched him.
Yeah, then she
right in the face.
Yeah, she knocked the F out. And she's like, done.
Boom, you're done.
and then, what else is in that hidey hole she has there? Because there was something else in there.
The one she made?
Yeah.
The wall?
Yeah. There was something else in there from the way the camera was there. There was a box or something in there. And two, how the hell could no one hear that?
She was playing jazz music really, really, really loud.
Yeah, but still, soft jazz music and boom, 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 boom. No, jazz music of that type does not have thump, 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 thump.
I don't know. You could take down some bricks with jazz music, probably.
Smoothly take down bricks. She didn't seem as strong in this episode. Like, not as strong of a woman in this episode as the last one, as in the previous few episodes. And I'm guessing mainly because just the camera was slightly shifted off of her because of Howard Stark being there.
Mm-hmm.
But she just seemed not super weak, but more along the lines of a woman in the 1940s. Mainly because, all right, let's go get the lunch specials, or let's go get the lunch orders.
Oh. No, I think she's just, like, kind of caught between two different places.
Yeah.
Where, you know, she's at work where they just treat her like crap, and now the people that she thought was her friends are also treating her like crap and using her, and she's just kind of like,
yeah,
just
right.
F all of this.
And then this guy
Whatever.
Has my boyfriend's blood. What
my
the
dead
hell?
Boyfriend's blood. Why is this here?
But it just seemed like she wasn't as strong. And speaking of not as strong, Jarvis, like, because Jarvis wasn't as in this episode as much as the other episodes, it just felt like something was missing from it. James Darcy is such a great actor and such a good part of this entire environment. Having him out of the spotlight it actually hurts the show.
I can see that. But this is clearly, you know, the middle episode, so they're transitioning and setting up everything for
Act 3. Yeah, this is beginning
three.
Of Act 2. Yeah, this is like right in that lull. It's just like, it's not... I mean, again, this is the midpoint. This is the midway point, literally. There are 8 episodes. We're on episode 4.
Yep. So it's like, okay, so here's Howard Stark. Here's his real motivation was to get Captain America's blood. The Leviathan stuff, there was a bunch of dead Russians, but Germany had nothing to do with it, so what the was that? And... Peggy's kind of stuck in the middle, about to get caught.
Yeah, oh yeah, and it's obvious that she's going to get caught. And I'm wondering if it's going to be like Victor, or if it's going to be like a douchebag main guy.
Blonde-haired douchebag?
Yeah. Though,
I don't know his name.
No, me either. I'll give him something, though, man. At least he is the most real person there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He did,
and that's what
all
she
the
says.
Other ones...
The people who are jerks, not like people who aren't my friends, are more honest to me than my friends are.
Yeah, right. But I mean, it's like the other ones kind of treat Peggy with a little bit of respect, but not too much, and kind of do the whole like snicker behind her back. Not this guy. He is straight up. He goes, "The problem with you is like you think you're being a man, basically, and you're never gonna be that." And I'm like, "Oh well, at least it's out there." great job, douchebag guy. You're a douchebag, but hey.
Keep right on douchebagging.
Yep. Oh, Super MacGuffin. Oh my god. I'm not a huge fan of the Chekhov's gun / MacGuffin tropes. And as soon as I saw the Blitzkrieg button, I'm like, that's not gonna do anything except for further plot. It's not gonna do anything. And especially when I got brought into the limelight, I'm like, yep, that's not a button. Nope.
Nope. It's not a button.
And I'm like, and I didn't know it was. I obviously didn't know it was freaking Captain America's blood in there because holy shit.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah,
okay,
still weirded out about that. But mark my words on that. That is going to be the one connecting point between Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter. That is somehow going to play into the connection between Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter, or vice versa, Agent Carter and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I can believe it. And she's also on the cast list for Age of Ultron, which I'm curious how that works then.
I'm telling you. Well, I mean, what you have in that bottle is pure, unadulterated, like, raw super soldier DNA. Like, from what they were describing, that was taken immediately after he was given the super soldier serum. So that is when it is at its strongest. So there's going to be some weirdness there that is going to connect Agent Carter with the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. By the way, freaking Spider-Man! Sorry. Sorry.
You just dated this recording.
Yeah, I know, right? Much less, you know, I said what the thing was.
Yeah, I know. Aside from saying the date at the beginning of the show, yes.
I'm not excited about that at all. Oh, not a bit. Super Soldier's DNA. Is she going to cover the hole? How did nobody hear? Less Jarvis is less fun. All right, your turn.
My turn.
Jarvis is Tell.
Lol.
Yeah.
Like, the, wow, the they telegraphed the heck out of that.
Yeah, right?
And the lab at SRR, whatever it is, I can never remember. Pre-shield.
Yeah, pre-shield. Oh,
is that the lab from Better Off Ted? I mean, it looks the same, and all of the scientists in there act
catching
just like
fire. Catching different colors of fire each time. Like, tell me these guys were not involved in creating the atom bomb earlier that year.
Like, where did you find these guys?
Just remember, this is a spy organization a year after World War II ends. So...
And then two notes on House Lady, whatever you call it, where all the ladies live.
Yeah, the lady house.
Defending young women from compulsion. It's a nice quote.
Freaking feminazi, man. Jesus Christ.
Feminazi. And special chicken pocket.
Yes, the chicken pocket.
Because that just made me laugh.
Yeah, this weird conversation, like, Peggy's
how to
like,
sneak
oh,
food
I
in your
would
bra.
Never, I would never steal food, and then, like, her waitress friend's like, oh, no, we all do it. She has a gravy pocket in her purse. Can you make me one of those? Oh, yeah. Like, what the hell?
So-and-so has a special chicken pocket.
Yeah.
Special chicken pocket? I want to know what a special chicken pocket is.
Yeah, her breasts always seem so perky.
And smell delicious.
Yeah, right?
And we finally got our Stan Lee cameo.
Yeah, man.
Which, has he had one in S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I don't think so.
Having a cameo in S.H.I.E.L.D., so.
I don't
know. So Agent Carter got one before S.H.I.E.L.D. How about that?
Stan Lee, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh, pardon me, sorry.
To Google to find the answers.
No, he had one.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
What episode? The pilot?
Hold on. Probably one of the bad ones. If
clearly,
Marvel
if
Project something was missing, this is like 2014. Like, this was last year's stuff.
Clearly, it made a big impression on me.
Yeah, right, it was the episode that aired February 4th, 2014. Whatever episode that was.
Okay. I believe you.
According to Huffington Post, so as you will. Take that with a grain of salt.
We'll verify. Or somebody listening will
verify.
Well,
there's images.
Sure.
There's when I did Stan Lee, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., there were images of him standing next to Simmons. So it happened. It was just during that first half.
When they went there.
Yeah, it was during the first half of the season where everything was weird and dumb and people were getting used to each other and it was dumb.
And also, it was dumb.
It was very dumb. That was pre-turn, so I didn't really care too much. Not going to lie. You go back, new listeners of the show for people come in here because I do all sorts of SEO in the postings. Go back and listen to the Geek.io show about that time last year, and you could tell how much animosity I had towards Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And it was Jared Azevedo, and only Jared Azevedo, and totally not Darren Schuller.
Darren Schuller.
Darren
Shamor.
Yeah, that got me back into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with Turn. In reality, it was kind of both of them because
it was a team effort.
Yeah, Daryl did the Winter Soldier review and then said it tied into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm like, huh, all right. And then you're like, oh my god, it's so good now. I'm like, okay, fine. I'll go back and watch the freaking thing. And it was actually very good.
It is very good. And season two is phenomenal.
Oh yeah. Dude.
I cannot wait for it to come back.
Oh my god. Is it March yet?
No.
Damn it.
Still got four more Agent Carters to talk about.
Okay.
It's okay. We got Agent Carter in the meantime. Yeah, that's what she's here for.
And Better Call Saul, which is kind of occupying all of things.
Goodness. Oh, my goodness, Better Call Saul. That's all I got on Agent Carter. So are we ready to go?
Yeah, this is actually my least favorite episode, I have to say. But that being said, I still enjoyed it, but it was my least favorite of the episode so far.
Yeah, that's at least favorite, but it was still good.
It was still good. I'm still totally enjoying it.
Still eager to watch the next episode.
Oh yeah,
which should appear on Hulu tomorrow.
There you go. All right, on to Gotham season 1, episode 15, The Fearsome Dr. Crane.
That's right.
Freaking Scarecrow,
Dr. Crane's
man.
Getting a two-part.
Oh yeah,
two-parter.
You can tell he's a big bad when he gets two parts.
But this is yeah, because the next episode is called The Scarecrow.
Yep. All up in Scarecrow's piece.
I haven't watched it yet, but I did see the title.
Yeah.
But it's not like the Scarecrow, right?
No,
like,
this is
his dad, right?
No. Well,
because he even had his son come in at that point.
I would
point.
Say that it is probably John.
Because like when he first came on, I was like, he seems too old to be Scarecrow.
Jonathan Crane is the... Hold on. Jonathan Crane.
Dr. Crane.
Yes, Jonathan Crane is the Scarecrow. The kid is the Scarecrow.
Okay, that's what I thought.
So you probably...
Of course he's emo.
Of course. In the next episode, I'm going to guess what's going to happen in the next episode. Wild speculation, folks. Haven't watched it yet. I'm going to guess that Daddy Crane dies... And other kid gets injected with probably the fear toxin that has just become a thing and goes crazy. That's my guess of what's going to happen. And thus the birth of the Scarecrow.
Right.
Because you're starting to, as we're getting further and further, or closer and closer to the end of the series, or season rather, because it has been renewed, I believe, so the end of the season, you're getting more and more of the Batman villains getting their official origin stories. So I have a feeling that it's going to be Jonathan Crane at the end of the season or at the end of the episode, like putting on a mask and freaking out and like probably killing that cute redhead chick.
You think she's going to die?
I have a feeling she's going to die.
Got to really set up as a love interest for Bullock.
Yeah,
maybe she'll just
so
die and make
creepy.
Him make him permanently grumpy.
Oh my god, Lusty Bullock is so creepy. Ew. He's
trying to place that actress. That I went to IMDb and she's in like every. She's done a guest spot on like every show ever made.
And she's
so apparently
cute
I've
as
seen
hell.
Her somewhere.
Like, she is pretty. She is really good looking, and she's been in like a whole bunch of things. But yeah, none of which are like anything major.
So she's very much a working actress, and I've seen her somewhere before. But I went through her entire IMDb thing. I don't know.
I remember that face and those eyes anywhere.
Yeah, she was in Hitch, and I may own that movie, so...
Oh, we do, too.
Maybe that's where I saw
it. Rachel's a big Will Smith fan, so we had to buy Hitch. And I don't mind it. It just... Yeah, all right. Creepy Lusty Bullock is so bad. Ew. But then you had the furthering of Jim Gordon and Inara, which was actually really good. I like their dynamic. They're so cute together.
I was like, "Oh, Jim Gordon's being kind of adorable."
Yeah, he's being
I prefer
flirty.
This Jim Gordon. Yeah,
he's cute. And of course, being Inara, she's so much of a better actress than that horrible Barbara.
Yes. She improves the show significantly.
Well,
oh,
yeah.
There it is, right there. So much better than Barbara. I can check that off the list.
But yeah, it's watching those two together is so adorable, and they have such a good chemistry, and add this level of, I don't want to say innocence, but for lack of a better term, innocence that the rest of the series doesn't have.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I don't think she's going to die because she's a character in the Batman universe, like in Batman Prime, she's a character.
Oh.
She's an Arkham Doctor. Yep.
An actual thing. Oh,
yep. She is still an Arkham Doctor in the future. And from what I could tell, they're trying pretty close to obviously eventually make this a Batman show. So she is a thing then. So I don't know if they're going to stay together, but as long as I mean, so far I'm enjoying them being together.
Yes, it's a much better thing than Barbara.
Yes. Oh yeah. Something horrible sure will show is up going to have to point. Have to happen to her. She is gonna get probably the worst brutal death of all time. Like, I'm telling you, dude, you like all right.
We may have been made too soft by Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul.
You're right.
To say she'll get the most brutal death of all time.
Yeah. An ATM machine is gonna fall on her head.
Oh god. That's the worst.
Her train.
Todd train motorcycle.
Todd train motorcycle. You have the first quote unquote evil thing that the Riddler has done with putting body parts inside of the medical examiner's locker.
That was amazing. That was fantastic.
I'm like,
oh, wow.
This is the first evil act of the Riddler is putting random body parts. And I don't want to know where he got those body parts from. But putting body parts into the medical examiner's locker, and he got fired for stealing body parts. I'm like, what? I don't understand how, like, I don't, it hurt my head trying to figure out how that was a fireable offense. Like,
I don't know. Having a locker full of body parts is probably a fireable offense.
Corrupt cops, no problem. Body, a couple hands in a guy's locker, nope, you're gone.
Get your hand out of that corpse.
Yeah. He's still so creepy, man. He's creepy, but still he's still fun. Like he
yes,
brings the fun into the sea.
He's kind of the comedic relief right now.
He kind of is. I mean, even though Riddler, in general is pretty much comedic relief. Like you rarely have Riddler being the bad guy. You kind of have him just to be the occupier and to keep Batman's senses sharp.
Riddle me this.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, you don't. So also like the reactions he gets from other people is also what makes it enjoyable. But I'm just kind of waiting for him to go postal. Like,
it'll happen eventually. I don't think it'll be this season.
When creepy hot file room lady gets like killed or something.
Yeah, it's gonna be something with her.
I'm really thinking that
foreshadowing something there.
Yeah, I'm really like trying to make Gotham Breaking Bad. Like everybody's gonna die.
Everyone's gonna die. He's gonna die. It's gonna be terrible and brutal.
Yeah, I think I am trying to make it Breaking Bad.
Why was she crying?
I don't know. Like, yeah, it was weird.
What were they setting up there?
Yeah, I was she upset that Riddler got like suspended or what?
No,
like,
she didn't know that at the point, so I don't know.
Or was she genuinely upset that the were her and that douchebag that got arrested like having an affair and she got mad because he got arrested or something?
Maybe.
Get your hand out of that corpse. Captain is so awesome in this too, man. She's a great actress. Like, just in general, I enjoy the Captain.
Get your hand out of that corpse.
Maroni is totally the Kingpin. Totally the Kingpin. Like, the Marvel Kingpin. He's totally Wilson Fisk. Like, I'm surprisingly fast for a big guy. I'm like, oh, that's totally the Kingpin.
Like, I did not pick up on that, but yeah. Oh, Penguin.
Penguin, man. He's like, he's still weirdly good and horrible. Like, yes. Within the same scene, he goes from being like a badass to a whimpering snob. Like,
I want to like you. And sometimes I really do. And then I just kind of hate you.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm supposed to feel about you.
What
is your character?
Yeah, it's just very weird. And like, and at the end with the church scene, that look on his face wasn't like mad or surprised or happy that he was going back to Gotham. It was like a punished toddler. Like, the look on his face is the same look I get from my daughter when I send her to her room from like picking on her brother.
Get on the bus.
Get on the bus with the choir. Come on.
Still trying to remember how he escaped.
He called
the
owner of the junkyard.
The junkyard, that's right.
And he called the owner. He's like, I'm going to call Falcone And the guy's like, but Maroney said, and like, Falcone runs he's this like, city. Oh, I should stop this.
Run away.
Yeah, I'm out. Peace. Penguin's out.
Okay.
I like Maroney. He's fun. Like, he's fun in that evil kind of awesome way. That you didn't really get from Fish. Like,
you haven't watched Dexter, have you?
No, not yet.
Okay. The same actor's on Dexter playing a very different role, and it's kind of ruined Maroney for me. Because all I can see is Batista, but that's okay.
Fair enough. Penguin still can't find his footing. Ba-dum-bum-ts. better than previous episodes on this one, like, but not as good as last week's.
No. But it's still a strong episode.
Yeah, this is still like my second favorite episode of the entire season so far. So
even more than Balloon Man?
Balloon Man I liked ironically. Okay. The Balloon Man was awesome. This does need more Balloon Man, but yeah. I don't want Riddler to start off as a bad guy who's trying to duplicate Balloon Man's powers.
Balloon Man.
I still want Calendar Man. Calendar Man is so bad. And I'm totally invested in the show now. You have a good actress for love. You have less looking on Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle.
Mm-hmm. Fixing the problems with Jim Gordon and making him more interesting.
Yeah, exactly. They're finally getting it right, and it's only 15 episodes in.
Yeah, it took a little while, but it's enough to keep me going.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was like I said before, I was going to give it until the end of season one because I am a Batman fan. I was going to give it that, and now, I mean, if they can keep up this pace, if they can keep up the pace of this episode, I would be happy with it. If they can go back to what they captured with episode 14, I'm completely in. Like, it would probably be one of my favorite series right now if they could keep up the pace that they had in that episode.
We shall see. My only other notes is Alfred. Alfred. I just love Alfred.
Oh, dude, Alfred's so great. What's up with strong British butlers in our shows, man? Like,
yes,
or British butlers in general. Like, you got Jarvis and freaking Alfred. So great.
And they're like the best parts. You know, Alfred's just there for a moment just to be awesome.
Be surly and great.
Why are you here? Man, that was a real dumb idea. Why don't you leave? I'm sorry. Yeah, I bet you are. It's like, well, we should get him some protection. I can handle that. You need to go. Okay.
I want to see the inevitable. Yes, like, sir. Yeah, right. The dejected, like, I just got scolded by my father look on Jim Gordon. I just want to see the, and this will be inevitable, by the way. You have such a buildup on Alfred, that eventually somebody is going to break into Wayne Manor. Probably something to do with the killings of Thomas and Martha. And you are going to have Alfred show why he is such a strong character.
Sounds good.
I mean, and it's always been established. I mean, Alfred has went for, depending on the iteration of Batman, he's either been an MI6 agent, he's been a world-class athlete, he has been a martial artist that has trained the world, even once he's been a member of the League of Assassins. So, always, Alfred has been extremely strong. And really, so far, you've had no way to show that, because there's not a ton of action in this show. There's a lot of dialogue. And so you haven't had that opportunity for him to actually reveal that bit of himself. It will happen. It's just a matter of when. And I'm not guessing something horrible. Like I said, I'm going to guess somebody breaks into Wayne Manor and he goes commando on him.
And CJ's usually right, just so you know, everyone.
The guy
with the pig phobia and what they were doing to him. Oh, wow, that was disturbing.
Yeah, this episode was dark as hell, man. Like,
walking on that. It's like, dude in a crazy pig mask. Pigs running around. And I'm like, what the?
Yeah,
like, I'm terrified. I'm not scared of pigs, but I don't want to be in this nightmare scenario.
Right?
I don't know. What is it?
Box.
No box. And then finally, the very, very end. What?
Yeah, like the ship being shot up and like freaking
door opens. They look at each other.
Fish going like feral.
Feral, and there you see like a slight hint of recognition between them.
Yeah,
and then like
and it's not only because it's the only two black people in the entire series.
I don't know. It might be. Is that her brother?
Yeah,
he's also black, so they must be related somehow.
Yeah, right. His name is Shark Mooney, and yeah,
it was, like I forgot them.
Yeah, it was a good episode. Just kind of weird. Hold on a second. I'm distracted trying to get the thing that for some reason did not carry over onto. That's dumb. All right, download the file. We're actually going to do something a little bit different on our challenge shows this week because a very creative, very great human being was actually taken far before his time. Rooster Teeth's Monty Own had passed after being in a very bad car accident, and he was only 33. And I haven't told Jazz this or anything like that. But there is a reason why I pushed for us to watch the first season of Ruby. One, because I knew you would like it. But the main reason...
He's not the one that died in a car wreck, by the way.
Oh.
He had an allergic reaction.
Was I thinking of another young person being killed recently? On
yeah, the guy from Joystick?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he died. Yeah, we had two, sub-34-year-olds die in 1 week.
Yeah.
And tragically. So tragically.
Aside from the fact that I knew you, I thought you would like Ruby. And I'd watched this once. I watched season one once before. But partially also because, like other things I don't tell people, and I'm sorry if I'm going to get emotional here, I've actually had the pleasure of meeting Monty twice now. Once at Dragon Con back in 2011, really when he was like when everything was taking off when he first joined Rooster Teeth, and once at MetroCon last year. And both times we sat down and were actually able to talk, and he was just he was very eccentric. Don't get me wrong. He was super eccentric. Like if you can't tell from the fact that he wrote most of the later seasons of Red versus Blue, and he wrote all of Ruby, he is an extremely eccentric and creative human being, but alternatively, he was one of the sweetest men I had ever known. My son, at Dragon Con, we brought AJ with us, and he was a little over a year old at the time. And he was crying when we actually sat down and talked with him. I'm like, this pretty good-looking like Asian dude sits down next to me, and he's wearing a Cloud outfit. Cloud from Final Fantasy VII. And he sits down next to us, and he just starts talking to us. And I noticed the Rooster Teeth badge on him and everything like that. And at the time, obviously, I didn't know who he was. Like, I'm just like, this Asian cosplayer is sitting next to me. Apparently, he's sponsored by Rooster Teeth. And his name is Monty. Okay. And he, like, AJ didn't want any part of me, didn't want any part of Rachel. He calmed down instantly when Monty came around. And we just sat and talked for like an hour and a half because he was getting tired of walking around being him and just wanted to sit down and just relax. And we found a quiet corner of the Hilton right above the game room that we just sat and talked and ate pizza. And last year when we went to MetroCon, he was there and he actually remembered me. And at this time I had watched Ruby and got back into watching Red versus Blue, and I'm sorry. And we sat, and most of my time at MetroCon was spent talking with this man who, I kind of went on this tangent about not knowing if I was going to keep doing the podcast and stuff like that because I didn't know there was issues going on at the time, within the network that Jazz knows about. And for some reason, I just downloaded on this person that I'd met once before. And he looks at me and puts his arm on my shoulder, puts his hand on my shoulder, and just looks at me and goes, looks me right in the eye and goes, "I've listened to some of your stuff. And if you stop this, I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to give you a noogie." And he immediately just walks away. I'm like, weird. So I was crushed. Like I'd heard, like I didn't hear anything. Like I just all of a sudden, like, yeah, Moniona's died. I'm like, what? No freaking way. And the reason why I just heard about the other guy who got hit and got in a car accident and died. I'm like, wow, that is wow. And the coolest thing with this, and something actually is on Rooster Teeth's site. So before we actually put on a little bit of the Ruby sound, the Ruby opening theme here, because it's awesome. Before we get talking about that here, oh, that's only in 1 year. Weird. Okay, there it goes. All right, now on to season one of Ruby. RWBY. It is a cel-shaded anime from the guys that did Red vs. Blue. Montione wrote and directed it. Season one is 16 episodes. The episodes range between 1 is 18 minutes long. What'd you think of it? I'm kind of mentally spent at this very second.
Yes. I feel bad. Because I didn't love it.
Really?
I liked it. And the more I watched, the more I liked it. But at like the first three or four episodes, I was like, what is CJ making me watch? Like, this is just hard and not super great. But it kept getting better and better and better. The animation was very distracting for me. Like, I know it was probably low budget, and you know,
it was all through a like budget a small computer team. Program that you could buy for like $50.
Yeah, that too. And it just, I don't know. I was like, what? It's like a video game cutscene.
Yeah,
what's happening?
That's what they were going for.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then if that's what they were going for, then they definitely achieved it. But it just distracted me sometimes.
Yeah.
It was very distracting sometimes because, you know, a dude's hand, he'd be sitting on a table and half of his hand would be through the table.
Like, $50 animation program.
Let it go.
This is the people that got rich off of doing stuff like ripping off Halo assets. So let's call a spade. I love the guys, but they're not well known for their animation.
But then it would have, like, this amazing fight sequence and, you know, like a monster's head gets chopped off. But instead of, like, a blood splatter, there's, like, these weird flower petal-like thing. And it was just kind of beautiful. And, man, it's like we would do something awesome like that. And then immediately, you know, a dude's arm would go through somebody else. And,
The fight scenes
so
in this
jarring
were
sometimes.
Impeccable. Like, I honestly...
The fight scenes... Really, really well done.
Yeah,
like those looked fantastic.
I mean, like I said, let's call a spade a spade. These guys are known more for their writing and their comedic timing than anything else. And honestly, rewatching it, I watched it when it first came out back in 2013, and I was like, it was so long ago. But I watched it back then, and even I thought, I'm like, wow. And it took a few episodes for me to get into it, because I'm not a cel shading, I'm not a CG kind of person. I prefer either, if you're going to go, like, I don't like cel shading, I don't like that. If you're going to go, either go hand-drawn or go, like, full, smooth CG. Oh, pardon me. Damn it. Tacos.
I'm fine with
cel-shading. Tacos are fighting me back. demon tacos. But it took, like, the first few episodes seemed to try and be a little bit too serious. The few times that they allowed themselves to be comedic, like exploding Eric Crater Girl, when you first had Ruby and Weiss meet up with each other, that was a great scene because it didn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know, like, sometimes the comedy worked for me and sometimes it just kind of fell flat. Like, that one, I was like, okay. And then, you know, other times, I can't think of anything at the moment, but, I'd actually chuckle out loud. And the farther and deeper you go into it, you start getting endeared to these characters. Even
yes.
though they kind of feel they're very cookie-cutter fit into, you know, you have the cute one that's, stronger than she looks. She's a little quirky and clumsy, but she's really strong. You have the one that's kind of a bitch, but then, sorry.
yeah! Twice!
Show. But
this
but really,
like
deep
chunk.
Down, she has a heart. And then you have the mysterious quiet one who has, you know, this dark secret, and she's really a lot deeper than you think. And then you have the friendly, wants to be everybody's friend. Yeah. I always feel weird saying hot one when it's a cartoon, because it's a cartoon.
It's all right. But, it's okay.
But despite, all of the failures in animation, they did take time to get the jiggle physics on Gang or whatever her name is, right?
Yeah, like the hot one. But I like the fact that they didn't amp that up too much on any of the other characters. They didn't try, even when the other ones were in lingerie, they didn't go too far with that. And lingerie. I do like the fact that they are they're very particular with what they'll show Ruby in because she's 15.
Oh.
She's 2 years younger than the rest of the group because she impressed the Good Witch,
pick up on
Glinda.
Glinda the Good Witch.
In the first episode where she went super scythe and freaking was a badass. I haven't watched the second season yet. I'm going to watch that. I'm not going to make you watch the second season unless you want to. I'm going to.
I'm willing to. We can do a spoiler on the second season.
That works. Just a fair warning, though, from what I was looking at, the second season is the episodes are typically longer.
Yeah, but this one's on Netflix. And that was another thing that I didn't like. This is like the 5 to 7 minute episodes, or the 4 to 7 minute episodes. It's like two scenes, and then it cuts off and starts doing the credits again, and then you have to stop and find the next episode and boot that one back up. And
I don't know. I watched it on YouTube.
I wanted
it
just to
made
flow.
A playlist of it, so I just went bum bum bum.
Yeah,
bum,
but
bum,
even
bum,
though
bum.
It's still the credits roll in and
yeah. I get that. But alternatively, I like that shortness because on the low parts of the episodes, you don't have to deal with it for too long.
This is true.
If I
watch season 2, I'll definitely do it on Netflix where it's, I assume, a continuous thing because it's basically broken out in 2 episodes.
Yeah, if it's on Netflix. I didn't realize it was on Netflix, so yeah, I will be.
Well, it's only been there for a week. So.
Oh, so yeah, I mean, you
it was
told
there
me that
today, February
like,
the 1st.
Huh. I'll be watching I'll be watching season 2 on Netflix too then.
Yeah, just so I don't have to do the breaking in between stuff that annoyed me to no end.
I don't make it any secret that I'm a huge Japanophile. So this being this being
and it does seem to capture the anime feel in
it does.
3D animation very well.
I didn't
get that. But I'm not a super anime person, but I've watched my fair share.
I watched
all the Gundam Wing and the Dragon Ball Z and the Dragon
Ball. The
popular
Ball anime.
The Trigun. So all the mainstream stuff I've seen pretty much.
Which is fine. I mean, this does lampoon quite a bit of the mainstream anime. So you're not going to be getting into like the weird anime. Like the weirdest you get with this is cat people and monkey people and
monkey
possibly
people.
A robot.
She is a robot, right?
I think so. Either that
like
or
the
she's...
Second from the second she showed up, I assumed she was a robot.
Yeah, then, I thought so, too. I'm like, they knocked her over.
Her back
she...
opens up and weapons start shooting out of it.
Swords start firing out. I'm like, I'm fairly sure she's a robot.
She is a robot, right?
Knowing anime, sometimes you're not so sure.
Like, I never know. Never do know.
Sometimes somebody's supposed to be a robot and they're just a mutant. Or they're just a person that happens to have amazing skills of putting stuff into their body in weird places. Again, I've watched a lot of anime.
I watched Trigun and his gun arm.
If you're totally anti-anime, like if you hate all things anime and all the tropes that it comes with, this is not for you in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, it does celebrate the tropes pretty intensely.
Oh, yeah, but it stays to the mainstream tropes. You're not going to get the super, super weird. There's no tentacles or anything like that.
No. This one's very... family friendly.
It is. It is actually very family friendly. It's obviously
aside
like a
from
10-year-old
monsters getting their heads getting chopped off.
But even then, blood is not. It's not quote unquote blood. It's the weird monster blood, which is not really anything major. I mean, there's no language. The violence is actually pretty kept to a low.
Scratches and bruises.
Really
but that's
looking,
about it.
I mean, really the target demographic for this is probably around 15, because there's no language. I mean, there's no language. There's nothing like that. It's just, and they even try to avoid a lot of the potty humor. So, which Rooster Teeth is very famous for.
This is true. This is true.
I love.
I think they
some
kind of invented teabagging.
Oh yeah, exactly. So I mean, they do have a lot of they do a lot of the weird tropes, but not anything really horribly egregious.
And see, the more I talk about it, the more I think that I liked it. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not expecting you to love it, because I know you weren't the hugest. Like, we've talked about this on the Geek.io show, where, like, you never struck me as the huge, like, anime person, but I thought this was detached enough from it for you to actually like it, and I like the fact that you actually enjoyed yourself and didn't hate it.
I do have this from high school.
There you go. Nice.
At the ready. let's see. Any other notes they have? The title sequence is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I love that song, and the animation in the title scene is freaking great. And the other thing that really bothered me was the faceless masses. So, like,
yeah, the black
there was a card
people,
scene,
just black people just walking around. And I'm not talking racist, like, literally, they're just black.
No, they're just silhouettes walking around. It's like, if this character is not someone who is going to talk...
That's
they
another trope, though. Like that is. I mean, even in the hand-drawn anime, yeah. If they're not important, typically you won't even have a face for them. They're like, if they'll have hair, and then that's it. Like, So I mean, this is like I
thought
said,
it
this
was,
is this
know,
is a $50
like...
application that they're doing this entire thing on. I'm not joking. I priced it out. I almost bought it. Like, it's $50. And
$50 whole dollars.
You have, you have more people on the direction and voice acting side than you do actually people making the animation for it. So you have, like, two or three people doing it. So, I mean, for that, I celebrate you. Like, these people are not obviously Pixar people. These are people, like I said, they got famous for doing Halo Machinima.
But it's funny because, you know, there'd be like a big, a scene where they'd walk in and you'd see one person who's colored in completely. And you're like, oh, okay, so that person's going to be something important at some point.
Yep.
Oh, there they are. There.
Yeah, Rachel watched the first couple episodes with it. And first episode, she's like, why are there a bunch of black people walking around? I go, because this was done on a $50 application. You have two people making it.
The lowest. And then my final note is the monsters. I feel like I've seen these somewhere before.
They're very,
if
you've watched
Adam and I figured it out.
Like Princess Mononoke and like a bunch of the Studio Ghibli things. It's very akin to those.
Yeah. And this is probably where this also stole it from, but Twilight Princess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that
those
Twilight
are straight
Princess,
up the same monsters.
Yep. Twilight Princess took a lot of its... a lot of the Twilight Princess lore in general was done off of Princess Mononoke.
It's like, yeah. I mean, it's like the same art style.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
White armor with the red weirdness and then black bodies.
Yep. It is very much so that it's weird mutated bear beasts. I do know, like, I was looking through, like, for the voice actresses, because a couple of the voice actresses sounded, like, very familiar to me, but none of them actually were, because literally, like, Weiss's voice is a production assistant.
We need a voice.
Who's a girl? Hey, you, come here.
Hey, you're a girl.
Come here. You just got me coffee. Bring me my coffee. No. Bring me my coffee. No. Bring me the coffee. Then come here.
Could you read this?
Yeah, read this. Oh, read
perfect.
This right here. Here's your script. Here's
That'll
your script.
Work. That'll work.
Now go get me coffee. So yeah, I'm totally gonna watch it. I don't. You could watch if we'll do another challenge episode of it next week.
I'm down
It won't be in the middle of the week when I find out freaking a guy that I felt weirdly emotionally attached to died. So
we'll get a little more preparation.
Yeah,
I think Volume 2 is like another 20 to 30 minutes longer than Volume 1. So.
So, what you have a full week to get that one done instead of, like, 4 days. And another reason why we do this is I watched no True Detective because work weirdness did weird things with HBO Go, and I just haven't gotten around to watching them at home or ripping them down totally legally. or totally. Getting them on Amazon Prime or anything like that. So I haven't gotten around to it. Been really busy this week.
I understand. I barely got this. I watched episode 16 30 minutes before we started the show.
Fantastic. All right. So let's say we go ahead and end this, wrap this up.
Yep, it's been a little bit long, so let's wrap this baby up.
It has been. All right, not too long.
But, you know, we had
I went on a diatribe because I was
sad. It's a very special small screen spoiler show.
Yeah, on a very special episode, small screen spoiler show. Jared said bitch for the second time. All right, so if you want to email us over at geekioshow@gmail.com. Just put S4 or spoilers in the title somewhere in there so I can actually make sure I read it on this show. Twitter's geekioshow, facebook.com/geekioshow. Website is geek-io.net/spoilershow. geek-io.net for all of your geeky goodness. If you want to support us and the network in general, head over to Patreon, patreon.com/geekio, to help support us and bring more stuff to you. Anything else at all before we announce the possible show title candidates and head on out of here?
Good. It's tight. It's tight, tight, tight.
Tight, tight, tight.
Tight, tight, tight.
All right, so show title, show title candidates, high def VHS, if you need your voice box, you're a spy. Smooth jazz brick removal, a locker full of body parts, Damon tacos.
Damon? That's supposed to be Damon.
You wrote Damon, Linux person. You freaking Linux user. you never know if it's a robot. It's not X-Roar Chun. I don't get that one.
Those are just my quotes that I was going to use for the... nicknames, but you got there first. Oh. But you can read them if you want to.
Okay. Get your hand out of that corpse. The cooler looks like Trichinosis stew. Slippin' Jimmy. I don't think that's what a sloth sounds like. I like the fact that we trade back and forth on nicknames for each other. That works.
I know. But see, I'm like paying attention now. I'm looking for them. I write them down whenever I hear one.
Right. I actually have them on my Google Calendar because, like, at about 9 o'clock-ish, like, I'll get a pop-up saying, these are your options to make Jazz's nickname as embarrassing as possible. All right, folks.
I really wanted you to be CJ Slippin' Jimmy Boat.
All right. On that note, we're going to go ahead and head on out of here. We will see you next week on Small Secrets by the Show. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Geek.io production. Copyright 2015. Geek.io. Geek. Geek and Geek.